We have a panel. We're going to be talking about basically a bunch of junior developers, as far as I'm aware of here, and a recruiter. And we're going to see if I, given my 12 years experience as a developer, can help these young boys and girls in their careers. I've been a developer for about 12 years. I've spent most of my time in London, more traveling, a lot international now. I started off as a full stack developer for a financial company, and then I've been doing a lot of front end stuff, contracts, and I'm recently been founding a social network called MentorCV, which basically allows people to show who they're mentoring and who's mentoring them. And that's basically building all that. So that's a bunch of Firebase, bunch of Svelte as for front end, and also do projects for clients, put together soft developers, bidding and that kind of stuff. Podcasting as well.
I did that for about 5 years, and then moved to a product studio called Neverbland, where I joined as a hardcore developer, I'd say. So not much to do with design at that place. Again, kind of like going into that role more as someone who wanted to learn about working in a development team, getting to grips with Git, NPM, and all that kind of stuff, which I didn't know before. Just working as a designer in this advertising agency with Flash, didn't really have to talk to anyone else. You just produced your work, and that was it. So moving into development team,
basically for 2 years like that myself.
Oh yes,
just had a little small team and get off Wild West stuff. You know, like can push production and all this stuff. Yeah, on you go.
Absolutely, yeah. So it was absolutely Wild West. You do what you need to do to get the job done.
Fun days, man.
And you'd have to just patch up leaks whenever they popped up and things like that. But yeah, very different to working in a team and working in a product studio where there's processes involved. There's a lot of kind of, you know, code reviews for one, just being able to show someone your code and to get feedback on that is a massive kind of like learning accelerator. So I did that for about 2 years, and more recently joined an advertising agency as a product developer. So at this agency, I'm sort of basically focused on developing products, internal tools, developing them, but also asking those questions about why we're building the product, why is it needed, where's the most value that we can add in terms of features, and just taking it through to development, trying to develop stuff very quickly, test it, get feedback from people, and sort of take a prototyping approach to product development. And there it's JavaScript mainly. On the front end and the back end. So we use Node for the back end, GraphQL. So that's my journey up till this point. As I said, like I've been a junior so many times. For instance, when Flash went out, it's like, what now? So started building up my portfolio with more HTML stuff and just kind of, I think in tech, you're always a junior in some way. A new piece of technology comes out, you really have to just learn it and roll with it. And that's just part of the industry. It's just learning, constantly learning.
Perfect. So I was kind of, you know, in terms of asking both Mark and Nikos a question, for obviously the juniors out there, what sort of advice would you give to any junior starting their career journey now? What would you obviously advise them to, you know, if you advise them maybe three things that you want, you'd advise them to do, what would they be?
Gloat in your luckiness for avoiding all of this mess that we had to deal with in our careers. Just be happy that you're dodging a bullet like you can't believe. Yeah, I don't have to deal with IE5 and 6 and Flash and Cold. It's ridiculous the amount of head start you have now. That just gloat and be happy of how good the choice you've made. When degrees are optional, to be honest, unless you want to become get involved in really complicated algorithms and, you know, financial stuff. The stuff that I'm doing right now for MentorCV basically is some mathematics going on with drawing relationships. So basically, you know, there's D3, there's other libraries out there that you can use to draw things, but you're very dependent on the developers behind those things. And a lot of these open source stuff, they have so many facilities for different ways you can use it that the lines of code are quite a lot. So my startup, the lines of code for the whole startup are about 2,200 lines. D3 library would probably be about 10,000 lines. So I would probably say write your own stuff as much as you can. Don't depend on libraries, at least for a while, because sometimes you're using libraries, you're not really learning anything. Like, all the knowledge that you would have learned to use, like AngularJS, is basically worthless now. Try and do as much as you can with low level code, because then that knowledge will never disappear. Frameworks are okay, but if you're using a framework, try and use a framework that's not like, if the framework's not there anymore, you're basically, all that knowledge is useless. React's quite a good framework because you're using JavaScript inside of the JSX templates, and that's just raw JavaScript, whereas like some of the other ones, like say Angular, Vue, even Svelte, you're learning some markup language that is only specific for that particular language. What else? Yeah, I mean, interviews, right? So many companies right now, they're just expecting us developers to just do huge interviews for free, right? I would personally just have a good open source, have a good GitHub account, have some stuff on there, because if someone like me wants to hire you, I'm not going to send you a test, right? I'm going to look at your GitHub profile and talk to you about some commits. And in about 5 or 10 minutes, I'll figure out if you're at your level or a realistic candidate. One of the best candidates I ever recruited for, basically, I sat down for 5-10 minutes, talked about his open source stuff. I didn't even bother having to send him a coding test. Coding tests are the scum of the earth right now. You know, like, it's just complete laziness on behalf of the end clients. They just have too many CVs and they want you to do this coding test. Well, it's everything, because it's like a client's market right now, right? So all the clients have way too many candidates to sift through. So it's they can just send all these tests, and you have to jump through this hoop. And that just it's a shame, because they'll miss the best developers for that level. You can be the best, you can be a junior and be good value, right? Or you can be senior and good value as well. But the ones that have options, they're not going to sit and spend half a day doing a test. All the time. You do one or two till you get tired of those. So open source is good visibility for your skills. So even just if you have one good open source project with a decent tech recruiter will be able to get you forward reasonably quick. And you can tell a lot from people just asking some basic questions about JavaScript for that level to see if they're capable. So, I mean, I wouldn't ask the same questions to a senior as I would a junior in terms of coding. But yeah, as a junior role, you've got less of a get out clause to avoid doing these tests. So it's going to be a bit hard being a junior, I think, for a few years, because you can't really say no too much if you're desperate for a job.
Yeah. I was going to pick up on that point that, there is a lot of competition in the market, especially at the moment. You know, probably going back to February, March time, there wasn't anywhere. You know, you're probably looking at a quarter of the competition that you're talking now, because it is more client driven. Back then it was a bit more candidate driven. So, you know, there are going to be companies that expect you to do technical tests. But for me, like Nick was saying, try and make sure you have a good portfolio, good GitHub. Get mentors in the industry. You don't need 5 or 6, one or two mentors within the industry that can help advise, support you on your journey. I think that's really important for juniors, if you have that mentor, somebody you can lean on for a bit of, advice here and there, soundboard things off. I think that's really beneficial for any junior. Get that by, going connecting, have a strong personal brand maybe on, LinkedIn, go and connect with, developers on there and ask their advice. And also, if you do work, maybe send that, if they're a strong mentor to you, send that to them and ask for their feedback. If they're a good mentor, they'll be able to give you a lot of feedback, and that should help everyone on your journey to becoming ultimately landing your first role. I think it's really important that you can get a couple of mentors within the industry.
Yeah, also, mentors can get you, if a mentor knows how you code, they can be a shortcut to a role if they're in a job and they're looking for a candidate. The mentor's going to go straight to you for the work, because they don't have to ask you questions like what's a variable in JavaScript, you know?
Yeah.
Between inline and block elements.
I totally agree on the whole kind of portfolio angle to trying to break into the industry. I think your portfolio is probably a representation, or the best representation of yourself you can present, and especially if you've got talking points in there that you can use in the interview. And I just wanted to ask, like, how many people do currently have a portfolio or a GitHub account?
Not me, Mark, unfortunately.
Nick,
I do have GitHub, and I do have a portfolio. I've been working on that. Obviously, first draft, once you're done, you think you could obviously do things differently.
Absolutely, yeah.
The only issue with my portfolio that I've been thinking of or wondering, wait, let me finish this first. You were talking about portfolio and GitHub, right? Now, my GitHub, I worry about because it only has my web development stuff on it. Now, what constitutes a good GitHub account? Does it have to be just lines of code? Does it have to be like, big projects, or are my web development projects good enough? Because obviously CSS has become so powerful that a lot of what you used to do with JavaScript, you can now do with CSS. So to make the page look good and feel good, I mean, CSS is doing most of that work. So I find sometimes that while I do practice my vanilla JavaScript as much as possible, a lot of the times I don't have to rely on it. And the page can come out the way I want it to without relying heavily on JavaScript. And then obviously once it's posted to GitHub, it can show, it shows you how much JavaScript compares to HTML, CSS, etc. And I wonder if that's a bit of a turnoff to recruiters or clients, that they might think that I don't really know my JavaScript.
Well, lines of...
I think there's kind of like the entry point level, I think, is knowing HTML and CSS. They're easy to pick up. They're probably the most documented thing ever on the web. There's courses, there's tutorials, there's documentation, there's referencing. So like showing a good grasp of that is a really good starting point. Just HTML and CSS. Don't worry about JavaScript. Like if you can get a few websites or, you know, just single pages looking good with just CSS and HTML, I think that's already like you've probably proven yourself at that point that you're kind of like ready to be tutored in the more kind of, or ready to be mentored and molded by a company looking for a junior.
Yeah.
If you can show JavaScript stuff, even better. And, you know, like even if it's a small to-do app, something like that, if you can do that in vanilla JS, vanilla HTML, vanilla CSS without any frameworks, that's not only great for learning, but it also shows that you can do vanilla, vanilla being just pure JavaScript. And then if you can do the same thing, like a to-do app with a framework, for instance, React, I think that's a really good kind of showcase that you can learn and pick up frameworks and you can learn abstractions, and also for yourself, like it's a really great way to learn how to do the same thing but with different tools, so you can see how those tools fit into building stuff. So I don't think there's anything wrong with having pure HTML and pure CSS projects in your portfolio, and the more you have of them, I think the better. It's great, I think, as an employer when they can see that you're so active on GitHub and they can see the kind of like grid thing in the bottom with all these green dots on it showing that you've committed code frequently, shows that you're you know, really motivated, really interested in doing this without having to be paid for it, without having to be, you know, as side project stuff. I think that's a really good starting point. Because I think as a junior, it's usually about soft skills more than hard skills at your level. It's more about being, you know, showing that you're motivated, showing that you can go out there and problem solve on your own and sort of like self-learn as well. And through your GitHub account, you can show a lot of that, as well as your portfolio as well.
Yeah. Well, one of the things about, sorry, I cut out there for some reason, but one of the things regarding my GitHub accounts is, so I hosted my portfolio on GitHub Pages, but obviously scouring the internet, a lot of people say that's a big turnoff to people. But the reason why I've had to go about that is because for paid services, we're not in the position where I can just be splashing around cash.
Nothing wrong with GitHub Pages at all. If everyone's complaining about that, it's complete nonsense. Don't work for them.
Oh, well, yeah, that's, I've obviously seen, you know, there's two sides to that, that, you know, but so one of the things that I've, that I felt has held me back in that regard is that with GitHub Pages, you can only go so far. I think you can only host static pages, yet I have so much more that I'm able to do. I'm able to work with Node. I've built dynamic websites. I've built backends. I've done a full stack course. Obviously, I'm not, you know, perfect, a professional in any other sense. However, I've really stuck to the. How do I put it? When I was learning HTML, CSS, I thought, okay, cool. I'll smash HTML, smash CSS, get onto JavaScript. That's where the real meat is. Then I slowly realized CSS is a lot more than I thought it was. And I decided to revert back and get really good at CSS. And I'm really glad that I did do that because in a sense, it also taught me a lot of how JavaScript works. And yeah, and then obviously going to JavaScript, I went through the, you know, fundamentals. But as soon as I was done with that, everyone piled onto me, well, you know, you should, or YouTube was like, well, go to React, go to Vue or whatever. But thanks to Travisy Media, I stopped in my tracks when he suggested, look, go back to vanilla JavaScript, build as much as you can in vanilla JS, and, you know, go from there, which I'm really glad I took that advice because I feel like that's pushed my understanding of JavaScript to a better level than if I had just gone for React, because I can now understand what's going on in React a lot better, how destructuring works, you know, calling objects, it's just mapping using higher order functions. A lot of the ES6 that it requires, you know, when I, at first, I was obviously lost with it, but it really made a lot of it clear. So, but I find it's hard for me to communicate that through my GitHub, because I'm never really sure. As I said, a lot of my projects, I can't use backends on it or the databases that I've built for it. And they're all static pages. And it's just today I finished a website that I think that is the, in regards to static pages, it's a website that uses the most JavaScript I've ever written for a website. I'm really excited about it. But again, with all this on my GitHub, with all my job applications and everything, I understand it's a difficult time at the moment, but I haven't heard word one, and not even in the sense of, well, you know, we like your work or anything like that. And obviously I'm not waiting for anyone to just give me compliments, but you can understand how, as you guys have just been saying, you know, this will really help you out. There hasn't been much feedback from it. Obviously, as I said, it's unprecedented times, and it's only recently that I have started. So it could just be the climate that is the reason for what's happening.
Absolutely, Nick. The climate.
Can I give?
Yep.
On Nikos, I'll let you.
Yeah, the climate right now is absolutely ridiculous. Right now, it's I've never seen a worse job market right now than it's. It's basically, if you have some money in the bank that you can live off of, don't go work because clients are charging ridiculous rubbish rates right now. If you can just live off, you know, don't go work for a client for minimum wage right now. You know, spend some time in your portfolio because the market will bounce back. And all these clients that are trying to rip off developers, when the job market does pick up again, they'll be the back of the pile. It's not a very popular opinion, but...
Well, I mean, as you just said, it is, it's exactly what I've seen. I've seen just posts for, and out of desperation on our side as juniors, we're like, well, we've got to get a foot in the door somehow. And we're seeing jobs posted for 16 a year, you know, 20 a year. Now, granted, I'm not saying I'm above that, but in a sense, coming from my current career and having rent to pay, having all the, you know, payments I need to make at the end of the month in order to live, there's a certain line that I need to live at just to make that.
Yeah. Can I give some advice when you're talking about job applications and not getting feedback? So if it, for a client or an agency at the moment, if you put, I mean, we agencies typically at the moment wouldn't even get hold of a junior developer role because if a client advertised a junior developer role, they'd probably get 250, 300. There's a lot of people potentially looking for work. Not many of them will be right, but that's the sort of process that people will go through. So this is why we're saying if you get three or four mentors so that you can able to then demonstrate your work to them, don't forget, you know, if you get three or four people, they know people, network with them people, they'll put you in touch with somebody else that they've worked with and stuff like that. That's probably more powerful at the moment, I'd definitely say, than actually just applying for roles. You know, actually, if you've got three or four decent mentors, because like Nikos, Mark, they'll have worked, if you, you know, take them two, for example, worked at three or four different companies in the career, they'll know a lot of different developers, you know, so when they message them out of the blue and say, look, we're looking for a junior developer. Do you know anyone? He's been mentoring you. I'd definitely recommend that over just applying for roles, because it's not great at all. It's really poor that companies and agencies don't come back, give you feedback and stuff on applications. But at the same point, knowing, you know, as a recruiter, you know, you might have 10 or 11 jobs, you're getting that many applications, it's pretty much damn impossible to go back to each application. So the best advice I can give to juniors, get some mentors, and I think that'll be much better than just sitting on LinkedIn trolling through applying, and it's more disheartening doing it that way. At least you know your mentors are going to come back to you and give you valid feedback on you, what you've done on GitHub. So for me, the advice I'd give, I'm not a coder, but I know how recruitment works, try and connect with people and get some mentors that can give you some advice. I think that's much more powerful, and actually you won't get anywhere near as disheartened by doing that, because you'll get regular feedback, and don't forget, then people know a lot of different people as well.
Yeah, well, on that note, I kind of saw it in that way, that if I didn't personalize it a bit more, I was just going to be lost within the pile. So every application that I've sent, whether it's a recruitment company or it's directly from a company, I'll right after I submit an application on Indeed or whatever job site it is, I'll make a point to still write them in an email to their direct email and tell them about myself, that I've applied for the position, send my CV along with it, and give a more of a overview of it. So, you know, as you're saying, absolutely. I mean, it just makes sense to network more and get into the game more with people who are in it at the moment. But yeah, I've tried to, short of sending chocolates, I've really tried.
Is that when you're talking? Go on, Mark, sorry, I'll let you, sorry.
Thanks. And, you know, on top of all of that, don't lose heart in your portfolio. Keep building it up, because at some point you're going to be in that interview room and you're going to need some talking points and some things to show. So, you know, it's if you spend an hour on it every day, in a year you've got, you know, a lot of work in there, and maybe three or four or five really, really good projects. So, just, you know, keep building it up. I know that in my past companies that I've worked for, if we were ever recruiting, you know, juniors as well, and someone sent through a really good portfolio, I know it would always get passed around the office on Slack. Everyone would be like, hey, check this guy's portfolio out. It's amazing. And we'd do it. And we'd be like, well, this guy's a junior. And we'd all be rooting for the whoever is in charge of interviewing and recruiting to get that guy in for an interview. Because in development teams, you do want to see people that have, you know, passions outside of just working in development. And the best way to see that is through people's portfolios. And by portfolio, I don't just mean projects. I mean, if you go to hackathons, anything like that, meetups, anything like that, and that shows up in your portfolio, hey, I went to the NASA Space Apps Hackathon, we developed this as a team, and you've got a video of it, you don't have to show the code, but just in that sense, you can show that you're someone who's got a wide variety of interests outside of just, you know, develop the pure coding sphere. So it doesn't necessarily have to be a coding project. It could be anything. It could be a one-day hackathon, and you could show and tell what you've done during that time, or a meetup that you've, or a convention that you've gone to. I mean, there's so many virtual conventions now that it's so easy to get involved in them. And if you've got a list of five conventions that you've been in to the year, to an employer, that looks like you're motivated to get out there and learn on your own about stuff. So portfolios can take many different forms. The work inside your portfolio can make lots of different forms.
Yeah, I was going to say, I definitely agree with that as well about, you know, one of the things that every client I work with, if they're looking for juniors, they want to see, you know, your interest outside, you know, did he attend webinars, meetups, etc., them sort of things, because it just shows that you've got a real passion and willingness to learn. I think, you know, yes, they want some raw development skills, but most of the time it's about attitude and softer skills and stuff like that as well. If you can demonstrate that you're really, you know, dedicated and stuff like that, and you're willing to go that extra mile, because they know when they hire you, you're not going to be the finished article, you're a junior. So going that extra mile, doing them sort of things means so much to employers. So as Mark said, I can, yeah, definitely recommend doing stuff like that as well.
Yeah, so
all right, thank you, guys.
Let me just do a bit of shameless marketing here. I'm going to share my screen. Okay, select something to stream, grab your friends a seat. Okay, so entire screen. Right. So, like, I'm building this thing called Mentor CV, and this is all basically built with... can you see that?
Do we have to watch the stream or
watch the stream, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, I just went and wrecked
the perfect.
Okay, so like I don't know if you can see that there.
Yeah.
My computer's just lagging down. So basically the idea of this site is that if you have a mentor or you want to try to motivate a mentor to have you as a mentee, so they can get recognition as on like the site that they're actually mentoring people and you're being mentored by people. So I've got some people that are mentoring me that I want to be publicly recognized as that, because they're quite successful. And if they're mentoring me, then people can see that. And also, if I'm mentoring other people, I want to show the world as well who I'm mentoring. Now, in terms of coding, I've done a lot of mentoring over the years. It's not something that I particularly would mentor in coding, but there's other things I would mentor in. So this site allows you to basically share what professional skill you're mentoring in. And it's I'm going to be launching it next week at some point. Still lots of things to do. But this site was built with a lot of... This diagram here was written in SVG. There's no library out there that could basically render this the way I wanted it to do it. So I had to write it myself. And I spent a lot of time working on just pure vanilla code. So I had to basically manipulate raw SVG elements, and there's no library there. It's all just native stuff. There's a lot of algorithms as well. So having that sort of experience with vanilla coding allowed me to pull this thing off. I just throw that out there. Yeah.
Perfect.
Let's get back to...
Can I ask a question to all the juniors? In what kind of area of development does everyone want to get into? I know, Nick, you mentioned full stack, because you can do back end and front end. I'm wondering if there's any pure front end developers. Yeah, okay. So Grace, you're front end. Oh, and Seb as well, front end.
Yeah, like in the later on, full stack would be cool, but I feel much more confident in front end at the minute. So probably to feel more comfortable in my first role, I think front end is good.
Exactly what she said, yeah.
Great choice. Because it's very hard to be good at full stack. The only reason that I'm able to pull off this site is that I'm using Firebase, which simplifies a lot of the security and authentication stuff. And 2,000
and also,
are on the front end, and 200 are on back end code. You know.
I was going to say, when you mentioned Firebase, Nick, earlier when you said you wanted to maybe not use GitHub Pages, I use Firebase to host React apps and Angular, and don't pay anything for it, so it might be worth checking out.
That's awesome. Okay, I didn't even know. All right. Actually, it was only last night that I was like, what is this Firebase thing and what's going on about? I looked into it last night, I was like, damn, with that, that's really cool. Thank you.
Yeah, I've got a 20-part series on YouTube on Firebase and building a simple application. I'm going to make a full series of videos and monetize some of that stuff.
So, Seth, Grace, you want to start off more on the front end side and grow potentially out into more of a full stack developer later on?
I think that's a really, really, really great way to break in, because you know, nowadays you can do front end and back end with the same language, i.e., JavaScript. Just write JavaScript on the back end. But if you can show pretty good front end control over CSS, HTML, and JavaScript, I think you wouldn't have much of a difficulty moving into back end. The only thing with back end, as Nick said, it costs money to get servers up. I mean, yeah, Firebase is there, and you know, it's not that expensive anymore. But it does cost a bit of money to get a database running and have uptime and, you know, all that kind of stuff. Whereas if you're doing just front end, if you're focusing on that for the time being, just use CodePen. Just get some projects up on CodePen. They'll host it for you, the JS, the HTML, and the CSS. And you've got projects up there that you don't have to pay anything for, and they're public. So it's a really good way to get into it. And if the company's, you know, specialized in back end as well, they will take you through the back end stuff and they will teach you that. So it feels like it's might be a little bit more valuable to focus on just front end, but with JavaScript as well, and let the company kind of train you in the back end stuff when there's a need for it. Because I think one of the biggest things is actually finding out. Ooh, am I still online?
Yeah. Still
out. One of the biggest things as well is figuring out what apps to build. If you've got so much control, like over the back end, the front end, the next question becomes, what am I going to build with this? And that's a big question, because you're essentially in product territory. What am I going to build with all these skills? Whereas if you focus on the front end and you try and get like a very simple landing page up, it's a lot more focused. The project's a lot smaller and more focused. And I think those are the things that employers are going to look for a bit more than entire integrated apps that might not work. Because when you're creating an app with the front end and back end, you've got to worry about kind of like error messages being displayed correctly. You've got to worry about, you know, data being transferred from the front end to the back end and back as well, data validation, all that kind of stuff. That it's just detail, really, at the end of the day. And if you're going to spend your time on detail, you're probably kind of maybe missing an opportunity spending that time building out stuff that people can see, i.e. a front end. But not to discourage you from doing back-end stuff. I think back-end's great. I love back-end stuff. It gives you so much power to actually create products that you can use. So if that's the route you feel you can get across your skills best as, then, yeah, by all means, go for the entire product kind of, you know, route. Just create things that people can use with a back-end with persistent storage.
Well, with back-end, the only reason why I got into it at all, I always wanted to, obviously, but I've always been interested in the incorporation of both. And on LinkedIn, on all the job applications, what I've mainly been going after is front-end development, because I know it is easier to get my foot in the door, and I absolutely love it. Back-end still scares me a bit, because of security, all of that stuff. I'm still like, I don't know if I don't want to be, the guy in Twitter at the moment. So, but just in regards to the backend stuff, it was more because that's what was incorporated in the course that I did, the Cold Steel full stack. And one of the driving forces for me to learn those things were because on all the job applications, even for junior, they're like, look, you've got to know HTML, JavaScript, CSS, how to build medieval swords, how to like keep the queen alive. You've got to figure out Firebase, all of it. You know what I mean? They just put such niche products everywhere that you look at it. Every time that I would look to apply to a job, I get, you know, two lines in. I'm like, sweet, I know that. And then for the rest of it, my face just drops. And I'm just like, all right, I guess I'll just be studying for the next year again.
Yeah.
Tag soup, it's called. I mean, I don't believe that a full stack developer really exists. A really good back-end person doesn't have the time to be good at front-end, and even you can't learn all the frameworks really well either. I don't have the confidence to go on to AWS and start firing up linked clusters of EC2 instances and then having some security mechanism for users that I create in Node Express. With Firebase, I don't have to deal with any of that. They have clever people that have written their authentication rules. Plus, what's really nice with Firebase is that you have this database rules which are tied to the authentication, and I didn't write any validation for a lot of the backend code because all the rules are inside of the Firebase database rules. So you can basically say like what values people can enter based on other values. Also with Firebase, it's a NoSQL database, which for me is very difficult because I come from a classical relational databases, which you guys might come across at some point in your career. Relational databases are basically big Excel tables. And it's taken a while for me to get the hang of NoSQL because you have to think about data in a very different way. And with SQL databases, you have imagine different Excel tables, right? And you can join them together using this sort of SQL language. And it's quite easy to do that kind of stuff. Easy after some practice, you have to write too much code. But today I had a problem in Firebase. I had to do two joins with related data, and basically I had to load a whole bunch of stuff on the client and then start doing all these JavaScript maps and filters and all this stuff. And I went, phew! But then with NoSQL databases, you can be really flexible. You just want to add a new field in there. Okay, just store it in that path, dump notifications done in four lines. But Firebase allowed me to take startup ideas that I had now to production, and that's something that wasn't really comfortable with doing myself recently. Another thing I want to say to you junior people, don't be afraid of doing a startup or doing an idea of making a product, because if you see a need out there that's not done yet, I wish I did startups a bit younger because a lot of the ideas I had have been done. So it's never too, a lot of really good startups, they come from people that are not, maybe probably junior developers. They just they start attacking something together, they got some users and then they had some investment, they got a proper coder. So just throw that out there for you.
Yeah, only question is what? Because that is the $1 million question right there, because everything I think of, quick Google search shows me that. Hey, I thought of that.
I disagree because look at how much pain there is in the world. How much inequality, how much heart and suffering. There's always
ways to
improve this world.
But I think we're then it's a discussion for a whole other time. But I do understand there is a vast array that can be done. Again, it's just for the people who want to, in regards to funding, when it comes to the people who funded, obviously a profit needs to be returned in most cases, unless you can find understanding backers.
Yeah. Has anyone, Serv, great, has anyone got any other questions for Mark and Nikos about their own personal thing? I think my genuine advice obviously would be to, in terms of personal brand and networking and stuff like that, try and become target yourself on 10 connections with hiring, any senior and ask them questions and stuff, get a conversation yourself, because most junior developer roles will probably come off people generally more than recruitment agencies and stuff like that, especially at the moment, they'll come for maybe more your own internal network. So just really focus on your personal brand. If you do a new piece of, you know, a new site or something on your portfolio, publish it maybe on LinkedIn, ask people what they think of it, start getting comments, start engaging in conversations, and hopefully that will go a long way to securing you a role. I think that is the massive thing for me, is your own sort of personal brand and stuff like that. Think of yourself as your own little business. You securing a role, how do I do it? Build your personal brand. So target yourself on maybe connecting with 10 developers, front-end developers in the industry a day, as well as doing your code. Send them a message. I'm new to the industry, always looking for advice, stuff like that. And genuinely, I think that will go a lot more than actually applying for junior roles, especially at the moment. And I think you'll probably get more success out of that as well.
That's some of the best thing I've heard all day, all week, all year, that advice there.
Yeah, there's just so many, you know, that's what I was trying to, you know, get on, you know, want you guys to get a foot in the door, because I think you've all got so much passion and stuff like that, and it's about demonstrating that. If you can do that through your own personal brand, I think that's massive for any junior developer.
Yeah.
And there's also, just for the front enders as well, there's a massive, I don't know why this is, but developers tend to not make things look very good. So if you can just spend a few hours, like if you've built something, and you spend a few hours just making it look good, like aligning everything, making, you know, sure that everything looks okay. Like, in my experience, employers really like it when you make something look semi-decent. It doesn't actually look amazing, but just look okay. Because a lot of developers can build stuff really well, but they look terrible. Like really terrible. It makes you not want to use them. So if you can apply a layer of design thinking, whatever you're doing, whatever you're building, that's already like a massive step ahead of, you know, what the average developer can do.
Yeah.
So yeah, think about animations, things like that, that you can fit into whatever you build.
Good points. But I just want to build on what Sean is doing. I used to run a coding club on Saturdays in Fulham. I used to invite junior developers and I had a deal with them. They basically buy me like coffee and tarts and like all this croissants, and I would teach them coding for a couple of hours. It's actually, I was shocked at how little turnout was, basically, for the value of what they were getting. But it's the journey is, you know, personal branding. I mean, build close friendships with some other junior developers, preferably in your local area, and just go out and hang out with them, because you'll learn so much together. Even if you're juniors, you'll be good at some things that the other guys or girls are not good at. And if I was a junior again, I would definitely try and find more people in my network that I'd be just learning along with learning together.
Hopefully. Is anyone, Sev, Grace, Nick, have you got any questions for Mark or Nikos or myself? Or conscious of obviously been on for an hour or so, but have you got any questions? You know, from a personal perspective, as I say, feel free to ask.
I have a quick question about, so I feel like my tech stack doesn't always, it's not always perfectly the same as like a job. For example, I've done React, but I've not done Redux yet. I would like to learn it, but I'm not, I've just not command to it yet.
Horrible, I hate writing Redux code.
Or I might not do Redux, but but you know, sometimes, you know, there's some jobs out there, they ask for one or two things that you just don't have. What was your take on it? Should I still, you know, apply to them and I'll learn on the job or I'll learn prior? Just a bit, you know, it's like how much, like, yeah.
Redux,
tell me everything.
If you're a good, like, if the team has a decent mentor or person that can teach people, and actually it's quite a lacking skill. It was a girl that once come to one of my contracts, and she didn't know like some stuff like with Ember, and she had good basic CSS and HTML skills, right? So what I did was this thing, I've coined this phrase just-in-time learning. I would teach her the bit of the framework she needed to do, right? So then she could do my job, and she could probably do the job about maybe 70-80% or maybe 30% slower than me, but she's getting paid about, I don't know, two or three times less than me. So it's efficient for the company for me to get me to train those juniors to do the stuff that I do and stuff that I find boring, right? But when she gets up to speed, he or she, I've trained junior all sorts of people, once they get up to speed, they're actually better than me because they're usually younger and have more energy, and they can concentrate better because their brains are younger. So as long as the team knows how to teach people, then I wouldn't worry about some skills that you don't know. Like, I think it's ridiculous that kids get companies that are asking juniors for a draft.
This is, again, the point. You're not going to know everything. It's like, you know, Nikos, Mark, if you start asking them about, they won't know everything. I think employers are so like, you know, we want this, this, and this. And almost, you know, sometimes when they get it, might even, they might have their own internal recruitment team, or they might have recruitment agents working on behalf. They might just press control and F. You haven't got it in your CV. So try and do your own networking to find that first role. Try and do your own networking. And I think that's really trying to get, is do that, you know, because you're not going to have Redux experience, React, and, you know, you can't, it's physically impossible to have every skill because tech constantly changes. But if you can show that willingness to learn, attitude and stuff like that, that'll go a long way. And like everyone, like Mark was saying, in terms of, you know, attending meetups, webinars, you know, hackathons and stuff like that to show your genuine passion, I think that is a lot more than just having Redux on your CV. Does that make sense? Perfect. Have you got any questions at all, Grace? Or
maybe one that's being replied now, but how to find a mentor, especially in the current climate?
Yeah, so this is something that people are asking me about the site that I'm making. They want to be able to go onto the site and say search for a mentor. So I'm going to probably add that feature on at some point. Most people that are skilled never get asked if they want, if they can mentor, like, it's kind of a weird thing to do, like, to go up to somebody, can you mentor me? So I probably wouldn't do that, but just find somebody whose skills that you admire and they're not so much levels above you that they wouldn't be motivated to teach you. Find someone that's just knows, you know, and there's a game, a Chinese game called Go. Have you heard of it? Right, so there's an artificial intelligence that got quite a lot of fame recently because these computers could beat Go. But there's a whole bunch of levels of Go players, right? There's all the way up to 9 dan, to which is like the top pro level, down to 1 dan, then goes down from 1Q to 30Q. Now, the 30Q player is not going to, it's going to be a waste of time for the 1 dan teacher to teach the 30Q player, right? But the 20Q player, which is only 10 levels above, can really teach a lot to that person. So find somebody that's just a little bit more senior than you and learn from them, because I've got some linked servers, Server Hub on this Discord server. You can go on there, you know, there's lots of friendly people on there, especially the TensorFlow one. But there's lots of Discord servers where you can go on, like Reactive Flux. You can make a lot of, you can learn a lot from these kind of online tools, online social networks.
I know Google also runs a mentorship scheme where it's like an ad hoc thing. It's obviously not physical anymore, but they probably have it in some virtual form where you can go there as a junior coder and senior developers will also be there, and whatever project you're working on, they'll be able to help you out in whatever you have problems with. And through things like that, you can probably find some really, really good mentors.
Is that a free service?
Yeah, it's free.
That's ridiculous. Seriously, whereabouts is that? Is that online or like you have to go on site?
It must be online now because it used to be a physical meetup, but it's probably not going on physically anymore. I'll find out what it's called and I'll send a link here.
Jump, take that with both hands. That's great.
Perfect. I think as well, what I'd say, asking somebody, you know, you wouldn't probably go onto LinkedIn, connect with someone and say, hey, can you be my mentor? But, and maybe connect with them. I'm a junior aspiring to get into the industry. Really like the look of your background. Obviously, you've probably been in my shoes, you know, maybe a long time ago, a couple of years ago. Make it a personal message to that individual. You know, I'd love, you know, I'm constantly improving, you know, looking at my portfolio and stuff. Would you ever be able to give me some advice on my work that I complete? You're not classifying that person as your mentor per se, but they're almost becoming that mentor because they're giving you advice. And, you know, don't get disheartened by somebody ignoring that message. You know, I work in recruitment, trust me. If I got disheartened by people ignoring messages off me, I've had a pound of probably a millionaire. So just, you know, don't feel like, oh my God, I've sent that message, I'm cringing because I've sent a message and someone's not replied. Some people are generally too busy, but there's probably, like Nico said, a lot of probably mid-level, senior, junior developers will probably actually really like to help people. You know, there are a lot of nice, you know, there's some not nice people about, but there's a lot of nice people about who are willing to invest some time because they would have probably valued someone doing for that for them when they were in that position. So ask the question, and you know, you might ask 10 people, one might reply, but you do that 50 times, you've got four or five people. So does that make sense?
Yeah, that happened to me once. Somebody reached out to me on LinkedIn and asked if I could teach them. So it was he's actually a friend of mine now and a successful developer. He basically he's a recruiter. And he said he was trying to learn some web development, and somehow he sent a message on LinkedIn like, "Hey, can you teach me some coding or something?" And so I was a contractor back in those. I was contracting, and I says, "Okay, buy me my lunch, and I'll spend an hour, a quarter with you, right?" So I basically told him to bring his laptop, and being a Scotsman, I like a free lunch. So I basically grabbed his laptop and installed a whole bunch of software on it, and set him up on GitHub and all bunch of stuff like that. And I met him several times after that, and then he was flying. He's got a good job now, and it wasn't that. It was like nothing, no effort on part of me. I just basically grabbed his laptop and set up. As I say,
you know, generally people, you know, like helping others. Yeah. Like there are some people that won't, and you know, but you'll probably find that more people will actually come back to you than won't and stuff. So I'd just say, you know, go and connect with people that you aspire. You know, you might see some of the work, or you might, you know, go and connect with them people, drop them a message. You know, if they don't reply, you've lost nothing. If they do, you've gained something. So if you use that sort of mentality, then I'm sure, yeah, you'll be, you know, successful.
Hey, Nick, welcome to the show.
Nick, please don't lose heart with applying, because it's a really good industry, especially at the moment, to get into. It's a fun industry. It's it's a well-paid industry as well. So, you know, just don't lose that drive to keep building your portfolio and applying as well. Like, if you get 100 rejections, there's probably two or three in there that could go somewhere. So you'll get there.
Definitely. Has anyone got any more questions or anything like that? Or I think we've covered quite a lot, haven't we? If anyone's got any more questions, feel free to ask. Or
yeah. So I see you've next joined. How you doing there, Nick? You're muted.
Yeah, I'm doing fine. Sorry, I had some problems with the internet, so I just was able to connect now. I'm doing quite good. I'm happy to join. I kind of missed a little bit the introduction, so I just want to listen a little bit. Yeah, I'll probably have some more questions later.
At the end, but at least you'll have your moment of fame, right?
Yeah, we've it's been recorded anyway, Nick, so we can obviously send it across to you over the next day or so for you to listen and stuff like that. But if no one's got any other questions and stuff like that, I just obviously unless someone has at this point, has anyone actually got any other questions?
Sean, do you think you'll become a developer on Monday? Maybe.
No. I love interacting with people and stuff like that, and yeah. You know, I just I just don't think it, you know, it's the maybe the career for me. Not everyone can be, you know, I'd happily learn a bit of code in my spare time and stuff, and I've done a little bit on HTML and stuff like that, but I think that's probably as far as I'll go. Stick to recruitment. I've got, you know, I've got 14 recruitment consultants that work for us now and stuff like that. So, you know, I love interacting, and a big passion of mine, genuinely, even though, you know, we don't actually, because companies usually recruit them directly, we don't place a number of junior developers. You're seeing, you know, how passionate some juniors are. Like, all of you have come on this webinar, you seem so invested in your career and stuff like that. Don't give up. It's like, you know, like Mark was saying, it's a lucrative career, you know, this it's forever changing and stuff like that. So once you get your foot in the door, I'm sure if you keep that dedication, tenacity and stuff like that, you'll all be really successful. And I just don't want juniors, especially during this time, to lose heart in the job search. You'll get there in the end. Keep at it, keep listening to advice and stuff, and I'm sure you'll be successful.
Yeah, based on what the juniors have said in this podcast, I think I would hire you guys pretty simply, you know, like, basically what you're saying, yes. It makes sense, right? So just to send employees, well, they ask you to do a test, just send them a link to this podcast. See, there.
Exactly.
Hire me, right?
Definitely.
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Sorry, earlier I had to refresh because for some reason I wasn't going through. But my last question is regarding your did either of you do coding interviews?
Well, the best, yeah. As a junior, I did a half, 2 or 3 hour interview. I actually flew down to London and did a thing and then got the job. And but the two best clients I've ever had, the interview was basically a phone call, and then I have to sit and write code. Most of the times when I write code, it's a complete waste of time. I don't think I ever got the job from a coding test, to be honest. I'm thinking, like, I actually sat down and wrote code and sent them on GitHub. Yeah, never got a job. Complete waste of time.
I can't agree. I had two coding interviews. One of them was coding on pen and paper in front of a guy, and that was horrific. That was just horrible. You don't have Google, obviously, but yeah, it's just a weird way to do a coding interview with pen and paper. But I did get a interview with a company who provided me a coding project I could take home and do. And I totally smashed that one. I just took it home. I worked for it for 48 hours straight, submitted it, and they accepted me based on that. I'm well up for coding projects. Not too long, but definitely, you know, they give you a chance to really explore a certain theme. And at the end of it, you've got something to put in your portfolio as well. Yeah. So kind of, you know, win-win in a way.
So out of all of that, what would you say was your... you might have gotten a job through other means or anything, but what would you say in those tests, what was the number one takeaway that you took away from it?
For me, it was treating it like a hackathon. You had a certain amount of time to do this tech test, and they wanted to see, some control over, you know, React. It was React for me, so they wanted to see how well I knew React. I hadn't used it before, so I had to delve into React and build this thing, based on their requirements. And I, you know, did it in 48 hours. I put it in my portfolio as well. It was something that you can produce and show how you're thinking, show your code structure in, learn something new through, and that was fine by me. I don't mind taking a weekend out to work on a project like that if it means that I can have something more to show to the next employer if I didn't get that job.
Yeah, coding tests are fine if you're under 35.
I think I'd say as well, like Mark said, they're all examples that ultimately you can put on your GitHub or your portfolio as well. You can showcase that. You might not get that job, but the next job, send that with your application and stuff like that. So there's loads of, you know, it is tough because the coding tasks take a while, and you might do five or six and stuff, and it seems elongated. But each one, hopefully, you're a bit more skilled and stuff like that. So yeah, hopefully you can take it.
Actually, very very boring and generic, and they ask you to write these really simple apps that you just don't have any passion to do, and they ask you to write all these tests, and it's just. But if there's one that's like a coding test that already it's already 90% complete, and you just have to add some new features, or it's an interesting algorithm that you can learn something from, then by all means do it. I mean, I think I've done that myself, and I've just basically made a GitHub repository and left it up there as some kind of teaching material.
Yeah, perfect. So. Obviously, thanks for that, Nick. Does that answer the question from Mark and Nikos?
Yeah, absolutely. I have a sense that we're obviously getting to the end of it. So before everyone just cuts out, I just thank you guys so much for taking the time. Thank you, Sean. Thank you, Nikos, Mark, Grace, Sev, Nick. I know you joined late, But obviously this is going to be recorded, so enjoy watching all of that. But I just wanted to take the time again to say thank you. There's not many people at the moment who are as eager to help, and it's just really appreciated.
Perfect. And I'd obviously like to thank everyone for coming on. Nikos, Mark, for taking the time out, obviously sharing your wisdom. It's been really beneficial, I'm sure, for the juniors. And I'm sure we can all stay in touch over, Slack or some email, some sort of format. Any advice you need on the server, exactly. Keep in touch with us all, and we'll all offer advice where we can. And I'm sure, hopefully, over the next coming weeks, months, don't get disheartened. You'll definitely all find a job. Stay passionate. Keep adding to your GitHub, your portfolio and stuff, and you'll definitely secure something.
Yeah, so I just want to say thanks very much, Sean, for co-hosting this.
Sorry, go ahead.
Thanks very much, Sean, for co-hosting this podcast. First time I've done this, and I really appreciate also the stuff you write in LinkedIn. And I like to comment on the stuff they write as well. And it's an interesting chat. We're going back and forth, but I'm sure you'll do good as a recruitment company with this kind of attitude to help developers. So,
perfect. Thanks so much for that.
I just want to say one more thing, especially to Sean. Thanks for setting this whole thing up. I've shared my email address in the chat. Please feel free, if you just want someone to share progress with and how things are going, drop me an email.
Perfect. Really appreciate it. Thanks so much, everyone.
Thank
Have a great evening.
Thank you all.
Bye bye.
See you later.
Thank you so much.
Learn with us. Out.